we get to the end of the meal, and of course, the tinnello was the first time that I had spent over $100 on a bottle of wine. That was a big deal. My coworker and I split it, and we all had a good laugh, like, oh, Nikki's not allowed to order the wine anymore. But we all agreed it was amazing, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. Hey there, I'm Nikki Lamberti, a multi-passionate entrepreneur who loves to boost your enjoyment on all the joy-filled things in life, especially food, wine, and travel. Not that long ago, I was traveling the world in my corporate sales job, and I discovered a love of fantastic food, beautiful wine, and the people and the places that bring them to life. So after a huge life change and a move to wine country, California, I've been studying wine, teaching others about it, and finally making my own. I started the Sip with Nikki podcast to create a virtual space for us to connect and hang out, try exciting wines together, and make the art of pairing food and wine less intimidating and more, well, awesome. So if you're a wine nerd like me, or just someone who loves to enjoy some of the finer things in life, but doesn't take it all too seriously, you are in the right place, my friend. Sip with me each week as I share tips, recommendations, recipes, and stories, along with some of my special guests who will drop some of their knowledge, humor, and wisdom as we all sip together. Welcome to this week's episode. I'm so happy that you're here. If you've been enjoying our previous 30-something episodes and loving learning more about wine, making sense of wine, I want to make sure that you have received my downloadable wine cheat sheet. Just visit my website, sipwithnikki.com/resource, and I will email it for free right to your inbox. It's just a single sheeter, and it's got some concepts that I've pulled out of my head and, thanks to the magic of Canva, put on paper for you. And I just think it helps to give some visual guidance to some of the concepts that I've been breaking down. So very often when I am working as a wine educator and hosting guests for wine tasting, they often ask me how I wound up in wine country. And after my sassy response, where I'll say, well, how did you wind up in wine country? I really do share with people what it was that led me to make a total life change 12 years ago and move here from the East Coast. So as we are learning about wine together and you've been following my travels, I thought I might take a minute because I haven't really shared the depth of the story as to how did I get into wine and why is this passion so darn loud and strong. So I'm very excited to share with you just a little glimpse into my past and what led me to be here as your virtual wine coach, wine educator, sipper extraordinaire. So here we go with how did I get into wine? Contrary to what a lot of people might think, I did not grow up with wine on the table. Even though my dad and his side of the family are Italian, it just wasn't our thing. We were big food family and gather around the table kind of family, but I don't ever remember like wine always being on the table. We did not start drinking wine as kids. So I think where I really got the bug was in my early 20s. I was working at Walt Disney World in Orlando, and I had this goal and desire to be a bartender. That was something that seemed very exciting to me. I remember as a kid, my aunt and uncle had a very cool finished basement in Brooklyn with a really cool bar, and my sisters and I would always pretend to play bartender. So I don't know, it always seemed cool to me. So I took some bartender training in my early 20s at Disney, and part of that was just, I believe it was a single day, like wine appreciation / wine tasting class. And I can picture it. The classroom was above one of the clubs at what was called Pleasure Island at the time at Disney. So it was like the nightclub area. those were when the light bulbs started going off, was in this wine tasting class, just like learning how to smell wine and taste wine and describe wines. And while I never went on to actually become a bartender at Disney, I went in another direction. Everything happens for a reason. So I think then I started just trying different wines when I would go to the store. You know, in Florida, you could buy wine in the grocery store. And I remember just kind of getting into it at that time. And then one really pivotal moment was in my early 30s, so about a decade later, I was working for the Disney Vacation Club in sales, and I got to sail on the Disney Cruise Line pretty much monthly. And at the start of every like week-long cruise, there would be a handful of us that were the team that were going to be working together for the week. So we would have a team-building dinner on the first night of the cruise. And it was in the high-end adult-only restaurant called Palo, which all of the Disney ships have, and even current day Disney new ships have Palo restaurant. And I remember this one time I was with four of my other coworkers, and we were getting to know each other and game planning for our, you know, sales strategy for the week over this beautiful meal. And there were some other wine drinkers at the table, and we had ordered a very nice but relatively inexpensive bottle of Pinot Noir. And this restaurant was known for its filet, which they would serve with a gorgonzola and red wine sauce. Again, still on the menu today. If you've dined at Palo, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it was a big splurge, and I think all five of us at the table had ordered fillets. So right when the entrees were about to come out, we had finished that bottle of Pinot Noir. So we needed more wine to go with our beautiful fillets that were coming. So our server, Sylvester from India, I remember him saying, "Oh, can I suggest this beautiful Super Tuscan wine? It would be great with your fillet." And I was like, Super Tuscan? I had never heard that term before. And he explained that it was a blend of Italian grapes like Sangiovese and then Bordeaux grapes like Cabernet. And I was like, "That sounds great. I'll have a glass." And he said, "Oh, well, it doesn't come by the glass." And so I looked to my left and to my right, my team members, "You want to do another glass with your filet? You want to do another glass?" "Yes." So we ordered the bottle. And filets dropped in front of us. And this beautiful Super Tuscan called Tignanello was poured into our glasses. And I will never forget tasting that wine for the first time, because it was the first time that I had experienced a wine that was changing in the glass with every sip. And so I say the last sip was different than the first sip, and every sip was sort of taking me on a journey, and I just had never experienced that before. Even when you have a nice bottle of wine, if you're at a table and you're eating and you're talking with people, you might like really taste the wine and focus on it on that first taste. But then you're just kind of talking and picking up your glass in between bites. And sometimes I think it just gets lost. And I remember, as wonderful as the company, the conversation and the food were, every time I picked up that glass, it stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me in my conversation. And after I took a sip, it was just like, wow, it's totally different than it was 4 minutes ago. And that was the first time, again, that I had experienced that. We get to the end of the meal and Sylvester drops the check. And of course, the Tignanello was the first time that I had spent over $100 on a bottle of wine. That was a big deal for me then. And my coworker and I split it, and we all had a good laugh, like, "Oh, Nikki's not allowed to order the wine anymore." But we all agreed it was amazing, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. So about a month later, I'm out working on the cruise again. First night of the cruise, Palo restaurant. One of my coworkers, Tony, who had been there for that Tignanello introduction, he was with me again on the cruise, but the rest of the team was different. So we're telling them the story of what happened a month ago when Nikki, quote, accidentally ordered this, you know, $120 bottle of wine, ha ha ha. And it was the beginning of the meal and we were deciding what we were going to order. And I stepped away from the table to go wash my hands. And when I came back to the table, the bottle of Tignanello was on the table. Thank you to my friend Tony. So he just went for it and ordered it. And we got to share it with three new people who had never experienced it while telling them the story. And it became a thing. It became a tradition. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was not just obviously tasting it for myself and experiencing the complexity and the evolution in the glass, but it was sharing it with my coworkers, some of which were barely wine drinkers and were like, oh yeah, you know, I'll try it. And that became really one of the highlights of that team dinner for me was introducing my coworkers to beautiful wines, my treat. And I loved it. I loved seeing them experience something new. The second place wine that became a special treat on the cruise then was Purple Angel, which is from Chile. It's the Carmenere grape, which is super rare. And again, that was a suggestion of one of the servers, or it may have been the sommelier on the Disney ship. And that became one in the rotation. It was always a little bit less expensive, still a splurge, but really unique. And I just was so excited to share this wine with my team members. So I think that was the culmination, and that's where the love of wine and seeing how it could elevate a meal and how it could almost dominate or stop a conversation was a really big piece of it. And now, a word from our sponsor. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to our show. That was probably around the year 2006. And then in 2009, my mom and I took our first trip to Napa Valley, just as wine lovers and wine drinkers. And there were moments during that trip going to wineries and seeing the lifestyle of, oh my gosh, these people, they own a winery and they live here and they grow these grapes and they make the wine here and they host the tastings at the picnic tables in their backyard. And until you travel to a wine region, I think we forget that wine is farming and it's agriculture, because the end product, the bottle of wine, is so sexy, right? We forget just all of the grit and the farming and everything that goes into it. And I was just enamored with that concept during my first trip to Napa Valley. So then I started coming once a year and then twice a year. And then I moved out here in 2012 and landed at Pride Mountain Vineyards, where I have been a wine educator for the last 12 years. And I've had the privilege of hosting guests and teaching them about wine and kind of the same thing that I was doing at the dinner table at Palo, but now it's my job. And part of what also led me to move to wine country, California, was not just to live in the wine country and be a wine educator, teach about wine, but I also, like many people, was really intrigued with the idea of making my own wine because I knew how much joy a beautiful glass of wine or a bottle of wine was bringing me and those around me. And much like why I love to cook and sort of create something from nothing and then watch people enjoy it, I really loved the idea of being able to hold a bottle of wine in my hands and say, I made this. So right away, when I moved here, I learned that it's very common to make at-home wine and to creatively find grapes, whether it's leftover grapes from a vineyard where you might work or neighbors who grow them in their backyard and don't use them. And it's pretty easy to have a rustic setup and make wine at home in buckets and glass carboys. And that's how I started just practicing. My first wine was a rosé of Grenache. By the way, if you missed the episode on rosé all day, go back to that. We'll talk about the beauty of rosé there. But I started by making 5 gallons of wine at a time just to go through the process and learn the ins and out. And that really grew the love of and grew the desire to do it for real and do it on a little bit of a bigger scale. So fast forward to meeting Michael, enjoying wine together and making more home wine together. And then in 2019 is when we were able to purchase a half a ton of grapes and make our wine properly at a winery called a Custom Crush and grow it from there. So as I'm recording this, it is the middle of August. And we are just a couple weeks out from harvest, getting started here. And it's always this mixture of a little bit of anxiety of the unknown and just, you know, it's a lot of work, but also excitement of what's about to happen and what are we about to create. That is how I got into wine. And now I pretty much enjoy wine more days than not. We really get a lot of joy and pleasure from the taste of wine, not just drinking to drink, but we're really fascinated with travel and how that goes hand in hand with wine. As you've heard in some of my recent episodes and our travels to Italy and Mallorca, when you go somewhere new, you want to taste the wine of that place that the people from that place made with their own hands. It's been an exciting journey, and we're ready to go for Harvest 2024, which will be our 6th harvest for our Solovato Sangiovese wine brand, and I'll put the link in the show notes there. I'll also link to my partner website, wine.com, if you would like to splurge and try Tignanello and Purple Angel. If you have a special occasion coming up and you just really want to experience 2 super unique, super special and rare wines, you can grab them from the link in the show notes. So now you know more about what led me here and how Sip with Nikki came to be. And if you have something that's pulling you in a weird direction, something that's bubbled up and on your heart or in your brain, I encourage you to explore it. See, it might be worth a life change to find something that brings you joy, satisfaction, challenge, and excitement, and can also in return bring that joy to others. So as always, if you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a rating, leave us a review, and please feel free to send me an email, nikki@sipwithnikki.com. Again, nikki@sipwithnikki.com. And let me know what you think and what you'd like to hear next. Until next time, sip well.